The director Paul Weitz made his name, along with his brother Chris, as the writer and director of the gross-out, scatological sex romp American Pie. But the Weitz brothers' next film was the more grown-up About a Boy, based on the novel by Nick Hornby. Paul Weitz's newest film, which he wrote and directed himself, is In Good Company, starring Dennis Quaid, Topher Grace, and Scarlett Johansson. David Edelstein has a review.
Salesmen carry a lot of freight in plays and movies about our economic unease. And why shouldn't they? They're at the axis of our capitalist way of life. They're the middlemen between fickle corporate Goliaths and fickle consumers. Paul Weitz's In Good Company is a liberal humanist sitcom set in a brutal global capitalist universe. The movie doesn't cut very deep, and it's impossibly sweetened, so that most of the characters get their just desserts. But it's also funny and charming, and it manages to get at lots of disturbing things about the way we live now. Our deepest fears about our place in a system that could make us clean out our offices at the drop of a stock point. Dennis Quaid plays Dan Foreman, the old-fashioned 50-ish head of ad sales at a sports magazine clearly modeled on Sports Illustrated. In the first scene, he simply hands a copy of his magazine to a reluctant advertiser and walks away, shocking the CEO by saying its quality will speak for itself. Now, I don't know that Dan could make it these days at a place like Time Warner. In Good Company has a whiff of the early 80s, when the old guard watched in horror as the first wave of MBA barbarians stormed the gate. But this terror is timeless. Young men who bring a macho triumphalism to laying people off, who refer to one another as chainsaw maniacs and ninja assassins. The assassins of In Good Company are sent by a multinational mogul called Teddy Kaye, who's played by the reliably satanic Malcolm McDowell. His agents demote Dan, and to take his place appoint Carter Duryea, played by Topher Grace, a 26-year-old with no sales experience but one marketing coup, dinosaur-shaped cell phones for five-year-olds. Carter has a mandate to cut jobs and raise revenue, as he explains to the older man while force-feeding him sushi.
Dan, I'm not letting you go here.
You're not?
No. You were an excellent salesman. You ran a good team. I think that you have the potential to be an awesome wingman here.
An awesome wingman? Well, Carter, I definitely see the benefit for you in having an awesome wingman, but what is the benefit for me at this point in my career of being an awesome wingman?
Well, one benefit at this point in your career is that you get to keep your job. It's a pretty good benefit, don't you think?
Carter isn't vacuous, but he's a punk, a tool. He hasn't thought through the meaning of Teddy Kaye's corporate mantra, synergy, which is the movie's boogeyman word. Synergy is used like melanoma. It's anti-human. It spreads. It squeezes out the good guys with a malignant monopoly. Quaid's Dan is the stubborn voice of humanism, while Grace's Carter stands for all that is amoral and rapacious and... Well, hold on. He isn't much of an antagonist, actually. Grace cut his teeth on That 70s Show, and he's a puppy-eyed young actor with an appealing self-consciousness. He dithers adorably. He could be Robert Downey Jr.'s kid brother, Downey without the danger, with a soft center. In Good Company is supposed to be about Carter's conversion from corporate machine to man, but there's no real drama or suspense because the script has him lovably confessing his insecurities right off the bat. The twist is that Carter confesses them to Dan's college sophomore daughter, played by Scarlett Johansson. So Dan is losing both his little girl and his place in the world to this whippersnapper. And Quaid plays the patriarchal anxiety and rage with just enough style to keep it funny and just enough realism to keep it poignant. Carter doesn't sneer at Dan and say, "I've had your daughter." He's abashed. He's sheepish. He's genuinely smitten with the young woman. That's the sweetened part of In Good Company, that both men are protagonists, nice guys wanting the same good things. So the movie has a soft center, too, and director Weitz lets it run down. He makes mistakes in the pacing, but they're the mistakes of a director who likes his characters and his actors too much. and how smoothly it goes down, In Good Company is very much a corporate Hollywood product. But there's an honorable place for a writer-director who can work within a system and criticize it, who can remind you of arbitrary economic injustice in the context of a romantic fairy tale. I'd say that's some honest synergy.
David Edelstein is film critic for the online magazine Slate.